All right, everyone, we're going to go ahead and reconvene the Story County Commission meeting. Get into the good stuff now. Moving along now to item number 15, discussion of possible action, tentative budget hearings for fiscal year 2017-2018. Mr. Gallagher.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Mr. Chairman, if I may, first, I think that if I may make a statement early on.
Sure, go right ahead, Mr. Gilman.
In as much as there is a pending litigation between myself and Sheriff Antonaro, I would like to, in an abundance of caution, I'd like to hereby recuse myself from discussions or voting on the sheriff's budget portion of our outstanding budget. Can do.
Very good.
Thanks.
Thank you, Commissioner Gilman.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman, members of the Commission, ladies and gentlemen, Story County stakeholders. I present you with the 2017-2018 tentative budget, and I emphasize tentative because there is a process after this, but this process started some 2.5 months ago. It has been a very difficult budget, I will tell you now. The budget committee, I think, has done a tremendous job, and that is without having Austin Osborne and Jesse Fain and Jennifer McCain, this probably would be not as good as I think it is. I think it's an excellent first step of where we are. It may not be the final step, but it certainly gives us an indication of where we are, what we're doing, and with that, I'm going to go forward. Our first item is revenues. And you may see that total revenues are, in fact, budgeted to decrease from the previous year of about 1.5%, and there's some reasons for this. The biggest one is centrally assessed. And in previous years, we have had a fairly decent formula to go ahead and get a number for centrally assessed. Understanding the budget process, the normal budget process for a public or a private entity, you take all of the revenues that you have that you think you're going to get for a year, and then you try and put some numbers down as far as your expenses are concerned, in this case appropriations, to come down to a number that would make you want to go back and have another business year the following year. Public budgeting is a little bit different. Because we did not get the majority of our budget information until last Friday from the Department of Taxation. Now, they don't mind presenting us budget information at such a late date and then give us 5 or 6 days to go ahead and put that in the tentative budget. I think that that's inappropriate on them, but that's the state of Nevada. That's not us. So with that, centrally assessed, we have at about $500,000 under budget, under where we were last year, under where we are to date. There is no number that I could have found in there in January, February, March, based upon Janice Eden's reports that she gave Department of Taxation to calculate that. So that may be a plus for us. But that will be, there definitely is going to be a restructure or a realignment, hopefully, of the property tax values for Story County, and hopefully they're in more of a positive nature. The other item that was in the negative was charges for services, and that was pretty much due to a Tesla agreement, a reclassification of Tesla payments through their agreement, that in previous years was included in the general, but actually should be included in the 474 Fire District. So with that, we have a budget of 13.3 million plus for revenue. We don't know if that figure is going to stay. However, that figure could hopefully go up between now and the final. As far as our departmentals, clerk treasurer, the major increase in the clerk treasurer's budget was in capital assets or capital outlay, because that increase is due to the replacement of tabulation equipment, which we know as voting machines. You know, the legislature for quite some time has been wanting us to, they have new software, new whatever. Well, that comes with new hardware. And so this is a product of that. And we will have to, if no grants are available or the legislature doesn't come through, then we will have to pay for it ourselves. District court. District court funds have increased over the previous budget cycle due to additional hearings, trials, and the possible use of public defender. All of these things are covered within the district court. The genetic marker testing. Our revenues derived from the justice court and district court fees. Expenditures range from improvements to lab expenses. Per NRS 176, these fees can be charged for analytical testing, the analytical testing process of a biological specimen that results in a DNA profile. So this is where you get your DNA, folks. Drug court. Drug court revenue is accumulated at the time of sentencing and is passed through to the Carson City Alternative Sentencing for order of the district court judges. Per NRS 458, abuse in alcohol and drugs provides the administration for these guidelines. And this is a special revenue. The recorder. The increase in services is due to the retirement of our advanced data systems, which is our main computer program, and additional fees for migration. I will talk a little bit about that later on, but that's pretty much the crux of Janice Seaton's department. The technology fund is, per NRS 250, gives the authority to the assessor and the recorder to charge certain fees which may be used for technology or improving technology within the county assessor and county recorder's department. We see a slight, we're anticipating a slight fees, but again, these are restricted funds and cannot be used for anything but that. Our Buildings and Grounds Department, congratulations to Jason Van Havel, who has replaced a retiring Mike Nevin. Jason got thrown into the deep end of the pool very early, has survived that, I'm hoping, and this is his first budget session. We have we've kind of guided that session through. However, this next session will be another experience for him, I'm looking forward to it. Buildings and Grounds, this is a reduction that's caused by the retirement of Mike Niven, as I previously stated. In addition, expenditures for street lights and the historical preservation fees, or expenditures, were adjusted to reflect current operations. Pools and parks decreased about 21%. This department's reduction was caused by the elimination of the parks and recreation budget line items, which were picked up by the park fund. We've always had these in there. Parkland's got its own NRS that covers a lot of this stuff, but it doesn't seem to fit in the pools and parks now. Service department. Their increase is due to the reallocation of all public works employees, reclassifications, and additions of an assistant public works director, and an increase in the insurance premiums. So when Jason was nominated as public works director, we also gave an assistant public works director because there was so much between public works, between roads, sewer, water, that we wanted to give a little bit more of a standard so that both people can take a look at the roads and sewers and their obligations and go forward, hopefully cleanly. Our next special revenue department is the roads department. The $70,000 proposed revenue increase is due to anticipated fees regarding import tonnage. And as we know, as the industrial park grows, so does import tonnage fees. Gas tax, hopefully we will get a favorable ruling on that this year, along with favorable interest rates, which we are hoping. Appropriations are anticipated to decrease due to the retirement and consolidation of road improvement projects. In addition, capital outlay items projected for next year, we have scheduled to be appropriated this year to save some of those appropriations for the roads. Mr. Chairman, I think now is the time that we have to recess and go to the water board.
Pretty good. Okay, at this time we'll go ahead and recess the Story County Board of Commissioners and convene as the Story County Water and Sewer Board.
Thank you.
Item number 16.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. The water system revenue is expected to increase somewhat due to favorable interest rates, while appropriations will increase slightly due to system maintenance agreements. I'm also in anticipation, if you look at their cash ending, they've got about $1.5 million. We've got an outstanding bond that's been out there since probably about 1985. I'm looking at retiring that debt. It will save us probably at least $100,000 in interest rates going down the road, so we're going to try and pay that off early. Next is our Virginia Divide sewer system. Revenue is anticipated to increase slightly due to funds received from USDA bond funding and anticipated interest rate increases. Appropriations are going to remain steady with the current year, with probably a little change. Now, and we'll get into phases 2 through 5 of the completion of the sewer treatment plant when we get to the USDA fund. Mr. Chairman, that is all I have for the Water Sewer Board.
Very good. Thank you, Mr. Gallagher. Let's go ahead and we'll adjourn as the Story County Water and Sewer Board and reconvene as the Story County Board of Commissioners. Item number 18.
Mr. Chairman, before you do, I can't remember from year to year what we do. Since these are now separate funds, I believe it would be appropriate to go ahead and act to approve the tentative budget for the water and sewer, and so you don't have to come back to that.
Okay. Very good. So,
public comment.
Thank you. Is there any public comment on the water and sewer budget for the fiscal year 2017-2018? Hearing none, if I can get a motion to approve the tentative budget for water and sewer budget.
Okay. I'll make a motion to approve the filing of the 2017-2018 water sewer tentative budget to the Department of Taxation.
I guess second. It's been moved and seconded to approve the water and sewer budget. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Motion carries unanimously. All right. Once again, we'll go ahead and we'll move on to item number 19.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. The USDA bond fund, phase one of the wastewater treatment plant was completed last year, with phases two through five to begin this year. USDA has appropriated $6.1+ million in bond proceeds and roughly $9 million in grant proceeds to complete this project. Bond payments will come from transfers from the Virginia Divide Sewer. In addition, a fire ladder vehicle was purchased through USDA, and payments are made for that expenditure through transfers from the Equipment Acquisition Fund. Community development. I'm suggesting that the community development budget be approved and submitted subject to changes in the administration and operations of the Community Development Department. As you know, Dean Haymore is retiring, hopefully you're between now and the final budget, we will have it would probably take five or six replacements, Dean, because you've done an outstanding job. But I was going to, I wanted to give whomever that person, if there is one, the ability to go ahead and go through the budget process. So I am recommending to the commission that we approve the budget intact, and we will definitely make the adjustments before final.
I can't do that. I'm sorry, but I can't do that. That 260% increase on capital outlay.
Well, that was probably vehicles. That was probably vehicles, and again, we don't have a department head submitting this budget. We won't have a department head with this budget. I would rather have a department head be whoever is going to be there July 1st. Take consider it. Now, as I said, we will take this and we will adjust it. But I was hoping that we would have a replacement by now, but we don't. So if we will leave this alone, and then we will make that adjustment between the tentative and final.
It's still less than the 14-15 or 15-16 on it. Significantly, yes.
Are you okay, Jack?
Yeah.
The district attorney, expenses have increased slightly due to the reclassification of the assistant district attorney. NRS salary increases for district attorney and the creation of a one full-time position instead of two part-time positions. Professional services have remained the same during future legal requirements that they may have. Justice of the Peace. Justice salaries increased due to reclassification and step increases. Appropriations decreased due to a decrease in training to satisfy, to come to current levels. Justice Court Fund. Per NRS 176, judgment and execution created the authority of the Justice Court Fund. There are two revenue accounts which must stay within the Justice Court Fund until the statutory time limit imposed has expired. And then at that point in time, the balance that was within that fund after that time period can be reverted to the general. Those two items are the administrative and assessment fee, which is a 2-year statutory limit, and the court facility fee, which is a five-year limit. Obviously, the expenditures of the appropriations within the Justice Court, it allows them to apply these to whatever Justice Court capital outlay and things of this nation, things of this nature that they may need. Communications. Communications Department salaries increased due to a salary study and CBA agreement. Maintenance agreement for the 911 system was reclassified from capital outlay at this point in time to services and supplies because it is a maintenance agreement and not a capital outlay item. The IT department. IT wages increased due to salary adjustments. However, equipment maintenance and communications were reduced to reflect current trends. Now, this is the result of a of our expiration of our lease with Ray Morgan and the fact that we did not, if we were going to go down that road with copiers that are needed, we are going to do it under a purchase agreement instead of a lease. Which saves us a tremendous amount of money. The comptroller department rose as a result of salary reclassifications and adjustments. Professional services increased as a result of the retirement of Pringle CPA, who conducted our annual audit. I have got, at the present time, four proposals for the audit. This audit, we were supposed to let the Department of Taxation know March 30th. However, there was not a time, by the time I got the letter from Pringle, that they were retiring. So we will do this probably the first commission meeting in June. And those fees will go up. We got a fairly decent bargain from 1972. Emergency management services and supplies increased to accommodate additional computer equipment plus additional professional services to inventory unreinforced masonry buildings, which is a great job for Joe. Emergency mitigation is a special revenue fund that was created under NRS 414 under the emergency management title and by resolution 08266 dated July 2008 to set aside funds to pay expenses incurred by the local government to mitigate the effects of emergency. Now, we've got $100,000 in this place, in this fund, and I'll guarantee you, after sitting a couple of weekends with all the department heads and Joe and Sherry, this is not nearly enough money. We're just going to try and figure out how we can fund this a little bit more to soften the blow of what we've got. But the tsunamis that hit, whatever they were expensive. And if we get another one next year or whenever, those costs are going to continue to rise until reimbursement arise, if there is going to be reimbursement. Community relations. Sherry Niven just does a tremendous job with this. We've made some adjustments. Salaries and benefits increased due to the addition of a director of the Virginia City Senior Center. This addition became necessary in order to have oversight over the operations that the county now funds for $135,000 of its operations. Of the other 11 nonprofit appropriations they remain the same with the exception of the community chest, which is asking for $30,000 more, the library, $10,000, St. Mary's Arts Center, $14,000, and healthcare and human healthcare services for $19,000. All of these are very, very well-run 501c3s. But I am going to speak to each and every one of them between now and the final with Sherry to see if possibly there's, what's on their plate. Obviously, if there is additions and new programs and things of this nature that is on their plate that they are requesting funds for, I would like to see that done prior to the budget process. So the commission and myself knows beforehand before a lot of this stuff and ultimately can make the approval to go ahead and do it. Parkland. Parkland Farm was established many, many years ago. We've done some extensive research on the business license side, finally got all of that completed. And as of June 30th, 2016, the balances of the park funds for the various locations remain as follows. Virginia City is $6,873. Virginia City Highlands, $44,618. Mark Twain, $33,443, and Lockwood, $36,953, for a total of $121,888. Sheriff's Department. As the Budget Committee reflected on the Sheriff's budget, the process we have used in previous years, we made a slight adjustment this year to extend an invitation to the County Manager and the Chairman of the Board. We pursued this course of action because in previous years, the Sheriff had left the Budget Committee meeting and requested a separate meeting with the chairman on this. Understanding that the sheriff and the chairman disagreed on the amount of vehicles last year that that we were going to purchase, we thought it was a it was best to provide the invitation that would probably produce better results. And this is not a bad thing, because the sheriff's salaries are about 33% of the total in the general fund. His expenditures are about 28%. That's where the bottom line is. So that indicates that there should be some increased interest, especially in the sheriff's budget, because it dramatically affects the general fund. There are several areas in the sheriff budget after we looked at this, which I have a particular problem with, and that hopefully I can get additional resource to go ahead and make a finding before the final. We had been looking at incidents for quite some time. If we take the highest 38 categories of all of the incidents that's provided by the sheriff, we will find that it has been the lowest since 2012, which gives me an indication that 24-hour, 24/7 double coverage may or may not be appropriate this time. There may be within one section or another section, but that material is... I don't have that material. None of us in the Budget Committee have that, and we would like to see that. At the present time, the sheriff has 16 deputies available for duty. Understanding that the maximum number of hours per year that a person can work is 1,880 hours. Double double coverage would require 19 deputies. Single coverage would require 10 deputies. And if there was something in between, it would be 16. Correction officers would be somewhat different. With the inclusion of the BIA contract, double coverage is highly suggested. However, when we met with Sheriff Antonora on this, we were at, I asked the question of whether they were on 12-hour shifts or not. My indication was that they were. But in looking back in January of this year, Sheriff Antonora adjusted his schedules to have some people on 12s and some people on 10s. Now, I'm not going to discuss, or I don't want to get into the 12-hour, 10-hour. But the fact that we went from 12s to 10 does increase staff. Both of these shifts are used for public safety. What I am advocating is that the Budget Committee listened to the sheriff's needs and found that these agreements or these arguments did bear consideration. However, double coverage does not mean double plus coverage. Double coverage for a week entails 336 hours. When you use 10-hour shifts, that's total is 400 hours. That's an extra 64 hours a week that we're paying somebody because it is double plus. This requires more full-time equivalents and additional funding. And in some cases, it's without the approval of a lot of these things, I think, is physically irresponsible. It really is. I have a problem with it. The yearly monetary impact for the extra 64 hours could reach somewhere in about $250,000. So if we're looking at double coverage, okay, if we're looking for double plus coverage, then I think the commission needs to know about that and make the appropriate approval on it. We need to redirect what's going to happen with the schedules. I think the schedule as applied is inconsistent and will not match the workforce for the needs of a community such as this with all the events going on. The BIA contract. The sheriff signed the contract with the Bureau of Indian Affairs in June 2015 for housing Native American inmates. There is funding to this, but there are expenses for meals, patient care supplies, and I would like to take a look and analyze this budget. Take a look at see where, if we are getting lowballed by other regions, and I'd be glad to go with the sheriff or his associates, whoever he designates, take a look at this and see if this is in fact a something that this county wants to continue in. Vehicles. We've had numerous conversations every year about vehicles. Currently, the sheriff has 25 vehicles at his disposal. There are currently 6 vehicles, which are over 100,000 and need to get replaced. The sheriff had requested 9 vehicles, but had settled on 3, which I greatly appreciate. The inherent problem still remains, though, that we have deputies picking up vehicles in one sector and going to their duty station in another sector. This could be as much as $30,000 miles per vehicle per year, which the normal use of that extends. Makes sense. There is no such thing as a gentleman's agreement between the sheriff and his staff. They have a collective bargaining agreement. I understand where this came from. But the continued use of this, I believe, must stop, or we're going to be running through vehicles, more vehicles each and every year. Now, the sheriff has come up with a plan to schedule by sector. I think it's a great idea. That's not going to eliminate a lot of the stuff, but it should eliminate 95%. Mr. Chairman, members of the Commission, it's with this in mind that I would ask for your approval of the Sheriff's Tentative Budget. However, going forward, documentation needs to be forthcoming before the tentative budget is finalized. There needs to be a schedule that addresses double coverage of 336 hours per week. The BIA contract obviously has to be analyzed and taken and come to a solution before the final date. And a police or a deputy schedule by sector needs to be looked at and approved. So with that, I ask for that approval.
Mr. Chairman, before we move on, if I may recommend, given Commissioner Gilman's recusal, I believe it would be appropriate for the two remaining commissioners to go ahead and act on this particular budget within the general fund so that Commissioner Gilman is free to vote on the remaining budgets.
Okay. I have a problem with the nearly 50% increase in capital outlay. It's like at 46.77% from 298,000 to 438.
Services and supplies.
Oh, that's services and supplies.
Huh?
That's services and supplies.
Yes. Okay, services and supplies. Right.
In that area, what has been requested is increases in his utilities. There are increases in training that he would like to have. There are increases in auto maintenance. There is a increase in computer equipment, which his computer equipment is pretty old. There is an increase in uniforms. There is a and that's about it. Those. That's
29 to 30.
That's going to be part of our
problem.
And the insurance premium. The insurance deductible.
That's in services and supplies?
Yeah. That's where it is put.
It's in this year's budget.
Public safety equipment, $125,000, that might not have been in your last time.
And we may, there may be an adjustment of where public safety, which is 125, was included in capital outlay in the previous budget, and we put it in services and supplies this budget. So,
we're just approving a tentative.
I think
that needs to be addressed.
Yeah, absolutely.
If I may, too, another substantial amount is, I believe, the sheriff in the tentative, we were going to adjust this in the final, took the whole quote for the painting of the building rather than split that between two-thirds, one-third basis. He went ahead and calculated all of it. So that'll be one of the adjustments made. And to be truthful with you, I believe we're striving to try to get that done in this year's funding, so it'll be totally eliminated out of the budget.
Okay, so there was a switch between service and supplies and capital outlay. Okay, yeah. That's lower.
That's higher.
Yeah. Do we need any subsequent
comments? Yeah, we do. Okay, we're going to go ahead and act solely on the sheriff's budget right now. So at this time, we'll take any public comment. Anyone has any regarding the sheriff's budget? Okay. That being said,
I'll make a motion to accept the sheriff's tentative budget for 2017-2018.
I'll second your motion. It's been moved and seconded to approve the sheriff's budget, tentative budget, 2017-2018. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Motion carries. The clerk will note that Commissioner Gilman went ahead and recused himself from testimony and abstained from voting. All right. Mr. Gallagher, we can continue on.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I think it's time to go to the fire board.
All right. With that said, we'll go ahead and we will recess as the Surrey County Board of Commissioners, and we will convene as the Surrey County Fire Board. 474 Fire Protection District Board. So.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. The 474 Fire District, as of July 1st, will be under the very capable hands of Mike Nevin's son, Jeff. My congratulations to Chief Hames. I don't know how much he's got over on me since I've been here since 2008, but it's probably been extensive. Although property taxes are budgeted below last year, the reclassification of Tesla reimbursements for the TRI fire services have given the 474 Fire District some additional revenue. Appropriations are budgeted to increase due to training, auto maintenance, and tires. Please note that we are currently, as is the sheriff's personnel, under collective bargaining, which may not be completed by the end of the final budget review. The fire emergency fund was created in a resolution 07240 under the direction of NRS 474 through 460 through 474550. The fire emergency fund must be used for emergencies and must not be used for operational expenses. NRS 474510 establishes a threshold of $1 million. Anything over that amount must be credited to the fire operating fund. Our intention is to increase this to $1 million. And as you know, 207, as Chief Ames and Chief Nevin have told me on numerous times, $207,000 in a fund probably can be eaten up in about 3 hours if you've got a problem. So I would like to increase this as much as we can. The mutual aid account was established upon completion of the 474 Fire District and through Resolution 12-356 in August of 2012 to account for all deployments and billings outside the 474 Fire District. The Budget Committee decided not to budget items in this area this year due to the uncertainty of the district deployment. We did some budget things last year. It's like a crystal ball because it is basically an in-and-out account. When Chief Ames or Chief Snevin signs his persons to outside the 474 Fire District, their salaries, their services, the vehicles are all appropriated to this account, and then upon reimbursement from whichever, whether it's state of California, state of Oregon, FEMA, doesn't make any difference, then that balance is then come in here. If there is a balance, we have looked at that as trying to appropriate some of those expenses towards the repairs for all of the heavy equipment vehicles. A brand new account this year is the 474 Capital Projects Fund. Understanding the needs for a couple for this type of fund, in March of 2016, Resolution 16435 established a Capital Projects Fund. This special revenue fund is primarily used for purchase obligations within the 474 Fire District. And continued use of the 474 Fire District will go off to pay, you know, many items, including equipment acquisition, building additions, etc. Mr. Chairman, that is all I have on the Fire District.
Do you have any questions regarding the 474? Open up to any public comment? Do you have any comments regarding the 474 Fire Protection District's budget? Tentative budget. All right. That being said, if we can go ahead and get a motion to approve the 474 Fire Protection District's tentative budget.
I'll make a motion to approve the tentative budget for the 474 Fire District. Let me start over here. I recommend we approve the filing of the 2017-2018 474 Fire District tentative budget to the Department of Taxation.
I'll second that.
Been moved and second to approve the 474 Fire Protection District budget, tentative budget. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Motion carries unanimously. All right, we're going to go ahead and adjourn as the 474 Fire Board and reconvene as the Story County Board of Commissioners. Mr. Gallagher.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Equipment acquisition is a special revenue fund that is primarily used to purchase obligations for roads and the 474 Fire District. Continued use of this fund by the 474 Fire District will go to pay off the U.S. Obligation Fund of $2 million for structure engines and ambulances. Next is our commissioner's budget. Salaries increased based on step increases, salary adjustments, and NRS requirements governing longevity. Appropriations increased due to purchases of computer equipment plus requirements for our insurance deductible. Administrative department, salary increases due to step increases and salary adjustments. Benefits are projected to increase due to our health insurance and our mandated retiree insurance subsidy. Health and Human Services increased slightly due to a reclassification. Increases in Consumer Health Protection and Rural Child Protective Services are also anticipated, and this usually happens every legislative year where they're going to get increases. Planning Department, their salaries and benefits increase really was offset by a reduction in professional services. I'm not sure what the pleasure of the board is. We are through with the general fund at this time. We've got a couple of the rest of our special revenue funds. I didn't know if we.
I believe what we've handled this routinely in the past is just a blanket motion to approve all of the tentative budgets as presented.
Okay. Great. All right. Our Indigent Medical. Is a special revenue fund that was created under Resolution 97.26 in September of 1997 under the direction of NRS 428 Indigent Persons. Revenue is received by a 10-cent rate on ad valorem and centrally assessed values. Indigent Accident is a special revenue fund that follows the directive of NRS 244160. The Board of County Commissioners shall have the power and jurisdiction in their respective counties to take care of and provide for the indigent sick of the county in such a manner only as is or may be provided by law. And this is a fairly important fund as far as our indigent are concerned. Capital projects funds. Capital project fund is used to predetermine expenditures and emergency operations, appropriations. Funds have been expended in such items such as the courthouse parking lot, sewer plant expansion, sheriff vehicles, sheriff office fence, and the 5 mile reservoir. We currently are anticipating this year having a balance somewhere about $2.5 million. However, there are projects on the horizon which we're just going to have to take a look at. First of all is the ADS, Advanced Data System, for our entire entire reporting, accounting, and reporting accounting software and hardware. We are, the biggest problem is, or the hurdle is our assessors, because it is such, there is so much work to calculate what values are on any particular parcel, that there are software companies that they have looked at that absolutely are going to refuse to do it, can't do it, or it's too expensive to do it. So this is something that's on the horizon. It's got to be done by December of 2019 because Mark Carter of ADS is retiring, and so is all of his staff. We have some communications infrastructure, which I got a bid from Dave Ballard, to redo all of the things from the mountaintops, radios, repeaters, all of this stuff. This could be in the range between $1.5 and $2 million. And then, of course, we've got the body cameras. It's not just the purchase of the body cameras. It's the infrastructure and the stuff that's behind it, how it's going to affect us, how much are we going to have to put into this. So those are just three items that are sitting out there on the corner that we may want to take a look at. Infrastructure. Infrastructure is a special revenue fund which provides funds from a 1/4 cent sales option sales tax, for which expenditures are allowed under NRS 377. The plan was finalized last year, and expenditures have drawn down to the current ending fund balance. Projects still to be completed under the plan include the courthouse remodel, V&T restoration, Gold Hill Depot restoration, and community development project for Mark Twain and Lockwood. Stabilization is another special revenue fund that was created by Resolution 06218, dated May of 2006. Revenues are accepted from the general fund, and expenditures follow NRS 354-6155 guidelines, and the balance of the fund must not exceed 10% of the expenditures from the general fund for the previous year. We would, at some point in time, like to increase this to about $1.5 million. Try payback. We did this in May of 2009 to help pay back our public-private partner in the industrial park. We have to dedicate funds collected from businesses in the industrial park to pay back this partnership. This includes ad valorem, building permits, licensing fees, clerk fees, recorder fees, anything that's applied in the park is accumulated. We have a stipulation of expenses that's subtracted from that. And then that balance, we have to pay 35% of. V&T Rail Project. is currently operating under Resolution 11-322, dated April 2011. The disposition of this fund has not yet been determined, and it is attached to the viability of the purchase of the V&T Freight Depot. The current bond debt liability will probably will end December of, I'm thinking, 2027. I'm not sure. But at any rate, we're going to keep it until I'm thinking the purchase of the depot, hopefully. Virginia City Tourism Commission. The VC Tourism Commission revenue are projected to increase due to additional room tax revenue and the 1/4 cent tourism sales tax. At the present time, there are 2, maybe 3 facilities projecting to have hotels in the industrial park area. That's certainly going to help Mr. Dotson and his group. And there are additional appropriations or additional funding budgeted for our special events, such as the camel races, which will have an additional session this year, and hopefully a much more prosperous bull riding event. But at any rate, there's a lot of special events there. Appropriations also increase when you do this due to salary reclassifications and adjustments, plus promoter commissions and marketing. And our final special revenue fund, Mr. Chairman, is federal and state grants. Sherry Nevin is in charge of this and has done such a super job of trying to gather information and funding to help us. And at the present time, the funds that we are looking at is Historical Preservation Fund in the amount of $9,700, of which there's a $6,500 match. Victim Services, which is the District Attorney's Department, for $20,000, there is a match of $6,667. Hazardous Materials, which is Emergency Management, of $3,900, which there's no match. State Emergency Response, which is $29,000, again, no match. And United We Stand, which is $25,000, and again, no match. Landscape Scale Restoration, which was at the 474 Fire District, of $238,000, of which we have to match $125,000. And Public Land Management, which is a 474 Fire District grant, of $170,000, for which they have to pay in $34,000. Mr. Chairman, this concludes my presentation on the tentative budget.
Thank you, Mr. Gallagher.
Mr. Chairman, if I could just procedurally, before you open for comment, ask you to structure this as a separate motion to approve the tri-payback fund. For refusal purposes, I believe, and then a motion to approve, eventually after public comment or whatever the pleasure of the board is, all other tentative budgets.
Okay. Board members, do you guys have any questions for Mr. Gallagher?
I am concerned about some of these numbers. I realize they're tentative, but some of the hikes in this budget are crazy. I mean, there's so many that are 10 to 20%. There's some that are 1,000% or 1,300. But I mean, there's some justifiable raises in here where things were shifted around, and that you see drops in one line item, but you see a big hike in another because they were moved around. And I understand that, but at the same time, if we're giving these rate increases, these wage increases, because of a pond effect study, I think we might be shooting ourselves in the foot, right? If we're giving them the whole bite of the apple versus maybe just a portion of the apple until we end up eating the whole apple. You know, we don't have to eat it all in one bite. You know, the property taxes have only gone, or anticipated to go up 5.2%, but the expense is way beyond that money. And I don't see the property taxes coming back real fast, because the bill out there right now, as I mentioned at the last meeting, is they did amend the bill, but what they're talking about doing is, because there's so many counties at 0.02% of increase, so that's basically nothing. And to get back to 3%, that's what the bill wants to do, is make the bottom of the cap, to speak of, 3%. But they're not just going to raise, it's not going to intended to be raised 3%. That's a big hit. So what's been proposed is this tax will clear itself out. Yeah, I mean, we'll eventually get back to a little more prosperous years, where we'll finally get back up to 3%. And if it jumps to 3.8, that's great. But once it passes 3%, it can't go back below 3%. So it's kind of a waiting game for that to come back. So I don't see the property taxes really making a big gain in the next couple of years.
I agree. They're at the present time, I think they're trying to get rid of the 10-year averaging.
Yeah.
Because that calculation comes in because of the dips in assessed valuation and the corresponding increases that are coming now. I don't like the fact that, you know, we're sitting at a negative percent for revenue, and our appropriations are increasing. I've been trying to caution everybody for the last couple of years that at some point in time, one of these things were going to happen. Whether it's this year, whether maybe next year or the year after, I'm not too sure. But at some point in time, it was decided that our employees were going to have to expand, because the requirements, because of the current level of business that's being created, pretty much demand that we need to do this. There are also things with those people, those employees of ours that do a tremendous job, and they should be, and they carry a lot of applications with them, more applications than probably any other person in any other county. And it was kind of decided that we would go ahead and incentive those employees rather than grab in new employees. I mean, so there are employees that have a single function in a lot of our counties that we have surrounding us. These guys are multitasking all day long. So that process has been ongoing. The study to bring these people, our employees, up to a respectable level, I think, was part of it. But this is, again, something that we're going to go through between now and the final. We'll take a look at this. We'll take a look at the salary structures. We'll hopefully get a little bit more of a idea from Department of Taxation. You're right, Jack, 5.2% is probably about as best we're going to get on ad valorem, but centrally assessed, there may be some help there. If there's not, then we adjust accordingly.
Yeah, we can't go into it upside down.
Well, some of the percentages on here, although they may look high, sometimes when you look at the dollar value, it's not that much in there. I'm pretty confident that the staff, along with department heads and elected officials, will be able to whittle this budget down a little bit. They've always been able to do it in the past years. I'm sure that they can do it again. It just takes more study and that. As for the salaries and benefits, I mean, A lot of that is baked right into the equation simply with collective bargaining agreements that are already on the books and the cost of health care that keeps going up. So some of these things we don't have any control over anymore. It's just like I said. I mean, going forward, we have to continue to negotiate with our unions and stuff like that. But whatever's in place and has been negotiated in the past is what we have to live with. So. Keep hoping that the property values continue to rise, so that we can, whether they get rid of this 10-year rolling average or not, we can start seeing an increase in valuation in real estate, countywide. Because everything's going up except the tax collection. So,
pretty much every year, it's I can only say since I've been here in 2008, we've always had a budget, and we've always pretty much the revenue side, because we always try and be very conservative with this. In case you've got a problem somewhere, we have let the department heads, for the most part, give us some idea of how their departments are going to run, and then we go back and we adjust. But we always seem to have positive on both revenue and also have reductions in the appropriations that were budgeted to actual. Current year, we've budgeted for a $736,000 deficit. As of March 31st, we're in the plus column, 2.99. So it's we don't know. I mean, we're giving this our best shot, but I think what happens is the quarterly revenue ones really hit home, because all of us as department heads, elected officials, take a look at this and say, oh, Jesus, where are we with this thing? And I think that review by quarter, I think, helps tremendously in seeing what they have. These department heads and elected officials don't spend it because they have it. They spend it because they need it. I take great pride in that, and you should too. We've been down this road a lot of years now, and I really respect the fact that you do that. And that's a mindset that only stays in this county, I'm pretty sure. And I truly appreciate it.
Okay, so at this time, why don't we go open? We'll open this up to public comment. We can comment on anything, excluding the 474 Fire District, the Sheriff's budget, and water and sewer. All those items have already been voted on and approved. So, any other subject on the budget is welcome. Ms. Bard, come on up.
Cole Bart, Stowe County resident. To piggyback on what Jack was saying, you've got a flat to down revenue trend with an increasing year-over-year expense line. So my question is, on the revenue side, let's start with the expense side. Hugh, what are the drivers besides salary, if you take salary out? What are the drivers on the expenses? Just curious, to sum up the top two drivers, excluding salaries.
Can you please repeat that?
Our expenses continue to go up year over year. Why?
Oh, well, at the very minimum, on the salary side, they'll go up at least 3.5% because of the salaries.
Excluding salaries? Yeah.
Health benefits.
Salaries and benefits.
Okay.
Put another way, how much of our expenses is driven by services being needed and required out at TRI? Then my follow-up question is going to be, to the extent that all of the big ones, Tesla in particular, and Switch, have abatements, what are we doing to recoup the expense to the county of having to support TRI? I know that we have an agreement with Tesla, are they paying up to what it's costing us to support them? Same question around Switch, same question around any of the businesses.
We're way off track. We have to talk about the
budget. I'm asking a revenue expense question.
But you're bringing in Tesla and Switch and abated properties. That's not what's on the agenda right now. So
my question is, why are the expenses increasing, and where are the revenues to offset the expenses?
Well, you wanted to exclude payroll. You can't.
Okay. Because we understand
payroll.
Because it
all starts at payroll.
Got it.
Because the benefits are on top of that. Mm-hmm. So PERS percentage is based on what the payroll is. Federal and state unemployment insurance is based on what payroll is. Workman's compensation insurance is based on what the payroll is. So as payroll goes up, because of collective bargaining agreements, because of longevity, because of state statute, everything else that's tied to it goes up. So in a nutshell,
it goes up
because of employee costs.
Understand that, but it also goes up, as Hugh had mentioned, that your business is growing for us as a county organization to support, right? Forget about the payroll for a minute, but if we have to increase a number, if we have to increase people in order to support that, that's kind of what I'm asking is, where are we as a county organization paying to support, say, TRI, because that's where the majority of the business is, and are we getting what we should in order to support them in a revenue from a revenue standpoint?
We're adequately getting what we should out of TRI.
Pardon?
For tax revenue, we're absolutely getting the adequate amount of money out of TRI as we should.
Okay, so our problem is that we're not getting enough property tax revenue, and that would make it better?
You look at the budget every year. You know that it's been flat. Our ad valorem rates have been flat for the last several years. So without having extra revenue coming in by increased value in real estate and the cost of employee salaries and benefits going up, way everybody has to tighten their belt and watch how much money they spend. That's how we're able to keep it at a pretty much balanced budget.
Okay, so we are getting what we contracted with Tesla on from a revenue standpoint to offset them.
Absolutely.
That's in the budget.
Yes.
So we're okay with that.
Yes.
So it's purely that we are not able to increase property taxes, essentially assessed, that keeps us
behind. We could increase property taxes, but that's not what we want to do. We don't want to increase the rate of property taxes. We simply want to collect more revenue by more businesses opening up shop in the park. We could increase the rate. We're below our cap, but we don't want to increase the rate.
Okay, then that's clear.
Yeah.
Right.
All right, so you have a plan to increase our revenue so that we're not continuing at a deficit?
And as other businesses in the park, as their abatements expire and they start paying their full share of their tax rate, okay, then the county will come into benefit from that.
Okay, so that's going to happen pretty soon?
Well, as each year goes by, I don't have a list of all the businesses that are on abatements right now. But we know that some were staggered at 10 and 20 years and things like that. And as they expire, then they come on and will end up paying their full share of what the tax is that they'll be able to have to pay up the county. Yes.
Okay. So.
Right?
Thank you.
You're welcome.
And if I may, just because the names Tesla and Switch have been thrown out there, I think we've been asked and answered the question relative to Tesla. They are performing according to their agreements with us. As far as Switch is concerned, the abatements are different. You get no abatements on real property taxes. You get 75% abatements on personal property taxes, and I believe a similar amount to the sales and use tax. I wish any of our inspectors were here, and it looks like they've all checked out. But I would tell you, Tesla's a big project, and it takes a lot of effort, but they're paying their way. Switch, surprisingly, is a fun project that doesn't really have that much interaction with us. I mean, it's a pretty normal project for a project of its size. So, and I guess it's also important to keep in mind the additional revenues that we sometimes have a tendency just to discard. We could easily find out from the building department or community development how many business licenses are affiliated right now with Tesla alone. but I would tell you there's probably at least 500, if not more, licenses. You see this list every, you know, every 2 weeks with companies from Japan and whatnot. And then for Switch, there were no abatements of plan review or permitting fees whatsoever. So we are definitely holding our own well with all of our projects out there, abated or not.
Right. Great.
No, Pat, there were smaller companies that got some kind of abatement years ago.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know what kind of abatement they got, but it was to help lure these companies in. So, do we have any of those still stragglers?
Certainly.
Yeah.
Yes, let me speak to that. I kind of simplify it, Commissioner McGuffey, as there are really three levels of abatements. There's the standard shelf product that is processed through the Governor's Office on Economic Development, GOED. Those typically will abate personal property taxes of up to 50% for up to 10 years. They don't abate again the other 50%. They don't abate anything else other than those. There are some other modifications. That also usually impacts sales and use tax similarly as well. There are many companies out there that have those standard shelf products approved through the Governor's Office. I look at it as the glass is half full. We're still getting half, and again, they're not very arduous projects. They're great revenue makers for us. Then there are the steroid, if you will, abatements, Switch, and ultimately Tesla being, you know, the largest one of them, and I've already spoken to those. Those do come off over time. I think we're in the process through Hugh's office and Jana's office of getting a list as to which properties have those standard shelf abatements, what are those abatement amounts, and when are they expiring. And I also want to point out, too, the clawback features that are conditioned upon the abatements. That worked in, I'll look to Mr. Gallagher here in just a minute for the exact amount. Toys R Us, for instance, got a sales and use tax and personal property tax abatement, as I mentioned, in the ballpark of, if not exactly, 50% for 10 years. They left after 4 or 5 years, and there are provisions in there that money is clawed back and returned to us that they hadn't paid. And that was, Hugh, how much,
$277,000.
So there are protection provisions during that interest period.
Were there any abatements generated by just the county?
No, we're not authorized under statute.
Okay.
We get to weigh in. GOED gives us the opportunity to support, which generally we do. There's been, I think, one that we've had some issues with, and all that mattered was we were clarifying numbers. But typically we'll support that to grab that half full of glass of wine for 10 years, and then once you hit that 11th year, you're good to go.
All right. Okay. Thanks.
Great. Good questions. All right. Any other public comment? Hearing none? Okay. Then I'm going to call for a vote to go ahead and approve all of the budgets that have been presented to us, for the exception of the 474 Fire Protection District, Water and Sewer Board, Sheriff's Office budget, because we've approved all three of those. And I want to exclude the TRI payback on this issue here, and we'll do that next. So.
Oh,
I want to do that separately.
You want me to note the TRI payback?
I don't want you. No, I
don't note it.
No. So approve all the budgets with the exception of those four.
Okay.
Fire, sheriff, water, sewer, and TRI.
Okay, I'll make a motion to approve the filing of the 2017-2018 general fund tentative budget to the Department of Taxation, barring not to include the 474 Fire Protection tentative budget, the Water and Sewer tentative budget, the Sheriff's tentative budget, and the TRI.
And if I may, just before that second and propose an amendment, you are not approving just the general budgets. There were other fund budgets mentioned in here as well. So what you're really approving are all budgets, alternative budgets as presented, with the exception of TRI, the fire district,
yeah,
water and sewer. So not limited to general.
Right.
Okay. You get a second on that?
Got a second.
Moved and second to approve all the budgets outlined there. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Motion carries unanimously. Okay, next up we'll go ahead and look for a motion to approve the TRI payback. Commissioner Gilman?
Yes, Mr. Chairman, thank you very much. In an abundance of caution in this issue, I'm going to take the position that because I have a pecuniary interest in the Tahoe Reno Industrial Center, and although this is a formula that has been in place for many, many, many years, I am going to recuse myself from discussions on the TRI payback budget or voting on that issue.
Okay.
Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Gilman. All right.
I'm looking for the... Do you have a folder for that?
No. Because it was part of the... the whole package.
Okay.
Okay, I'll ask if there's any public comment regarding the budget item regarding the TRI payback. Hearing none. I'd like to get a motion to approve the budget for the TRI payback.
I'll make a motion to approve the filing for the 2017-2018 TRI payback tentative budget to the Department of Taxation.
I'll second your motion. It's been moved and second to approve the TRI payback. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Motion carries. The clerk will note that Commissioner Gilman abstained from voting on this. So that concludes the tentative budget hearings for the 2017-2018 budgets. Moving along now to item number 24. This is discussion and possible action. These are licensing board second readings.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. On behalf of Community Development, they are recommending that you approve all licenses as listed on your agenda, items A through V as in Victor, and those would be RF McDonald Company, Door, Echo Clean Inc., EBZ, Systech Inc., Wax On, Wax Off Mobile Detail, WW Clyde and Company, Tradesman International LLC, Automation Logistics Corporation, Keith Wallace doing business as ASNAP, King Construction Inc., Lada Cube LLC, Techno Inc., Bastion Automation Engineering LLC, Banner Industries of, I don't know what NE is, of NE Inc., probably New England, Trumpf Inc., Nevada Barricade and Sign Company Inc., CME Professional Services LLC, Industrial Kinetics Inc., KDDI America Inc., UL LCC, Black Gold Industries doing business as BGII, Out West Buildings LLC, and Harada Corporation of America, all to be approved.
Great. Thank you, Mr. Whitman. Any public comment regarding the licensing board second readings today? So note 23 up there. That's good. You bet.
Okay.
I get a motion to approve the licensing board second readings.
I'll make a motion to approve the licensing board second readings for items A through B.
I have a second on
second.
We moved in second to approve all items A through V. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye. Motion carries unanimously. Very good. Moving along now to item number 25, open for public comment.
I have a comment, Mr. Chairman.
Mr. Gilman.
I'd just like to share with the folks that are here remaining interesting announcements this morning. It was announced that Tesla has passed Ford, and they have now become the second largest company in stock market cap in the United States today, second only to GM, who is number one. However, Reuters came out this morning and said that Tesla has passed GM as the most valuable U.S. car company in the United States today. And all of that was made public and passed through to all of us this morning. I thought it might be fun for all of us to know that our little company out there is doing quite a job nationally.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's terrific. Once again, any public comment? Hearing none, meeting adjourned.